Giants were there.
They played a very good game against a very good team.
We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to bring you this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network.
Well, I think we competed.
Are you ready?
This is the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM. We welcome you here to the ASN Coaches Show. I'm your host, Zion Palmieri. Joined alongside me,
Trevor Martin.
Colton Bailey.
And guys, it's sadly our last Coaches Show of the year. How you feeling?
You know, Zion, I feel like it's been a long journey. Obviously, I know we did a few back in August, and now we're ending the year in May. But I know you'll be graduating, but I'm sure Colton and I will be on our fair share of Coaches Show starting next year in August. So sad to see it be your last one, Zion, at PHHS, but get ready to get it going. How about you, Colton?
Same thing here. Sad to see it go as well, Zion, but hopefully this show runs well.
Yeah, we're going to go out with a bang. We might have the best coach show of the year.
Honestly, yeah, let's do it. It's time for it. Yeah.
We'll start with the softball team. This week, they played 3 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And they went 3-0. Kudos to them. They are back to 500 on the year, 4-1 in conference, in a good spot right now to end the season on a bang.
They really are, Zion. And it started last week. We'll kind of, you know, look at all the games, but the one I feel like to focus on the best is the Greenfield Central game from last Tuesday, the 12th. So that was about the day after we recorded last week's coach's show. And it was an 8-4 win. I think the biggest thing is there was the return of Morgan Bricker on the mound, and she pitched, I think you guys said on the next broadcast, she pitched like 127 pitches, I think it was. Or maybe that was the New Paul game. But she pitched a lot this past week. And so to get a win against a team like that, obviously you want to make sure that that win translates to when they play them in sectional a week from tomorrow on May 26th. But to get that win against Greenfield to start the week and then to follow that up with a one-run win against New Paul, 3-2 on Thursday, and then follow that up with an 8-7 victory, which we can get into in a second, with Chatard as well. Those two one-run games they had this last week, and then the 4-run victory against Greenfield. That's the kind of week that Coach Davis wanted. As you mentioned, Zion, talking to him on Friday night, excited to get back to 500, back to this brand of softball that they're used to. They want to continue that and just use that as momentum. They have 3 games left before they reach sectional play. So this is the right stride. This is where you want to be playing your best softball. Coach Davis and the girls are doing just that.
I mean, definitely, like I said, Coach Davis, if you want to play that best softball, which, like I said, you bought from scores, they are definitely doing that. Along with that, the return of Morgan on the mound, with me and Zion seeing that on the Greenfield game. I mean, Morgan being out with an injury for most of the season, that her just springing back like that, throwing over 100 pitches in that New Paul game, I mean, definitely goes to show what Coach Davis is planning out here.
Yeah, my biggest takeaway of the Greenfield game was, you know, they started a lot of games recently going down 3 runs, 4 runs, 5 runs in the first 2 innings. And this started the leadoff batter, Kristen Weininger, had a solo shot way deep to center. And you look away and it's quickly 1-0 Greenfield. And they got back, they got a point, they tied it up. It was kind of a tit for tat game. And then Pendleton Knights offense is what pulled them ahead in the second inning. I think it was, you know, not starting down and dead in a big hole that really propelled them to a win. And it was something, you know, they didn't have to dig out life later in the game because they could just play a normal game like it was 0-0. And I think that helped them through this week, win a tough conference game at New Paul and beat Chatard by a thin margin. It's doing the right things at the right time. And, you know, they're in a winning recipe.
They really are, Zion. And I think you look at too, I was just looking at the box score as well. Like you're looking at, it's like the Pendleton Central Lady Arabian softball team scored all the runs, 8 runs by the third inning. So they didn't even score the last 4 innings, which is what you want to see when you're up that much and then not give up. They gave up 1 run in the 6th, 1 in the 7th. But yeah, I think it was kind of the tale of different games, because as you were on that game Friday, Zion, it was kind of like that back and forth battle. And then Pendleton Knights had to come away with a walk off. It was a pass the ball, wild pitch, whatever you want to call it, to end that game against Chatard. So it was a different type of game. They scored 8 runs against Greenfield in the first 3 innings. And then obviously it was 8 runs spread out throughout pretty much all 7 innings there on Friday night. So it's good to show that they can win games in different ways, which I feel like you see a lot of different types of competition as you get to a sectional. If they could win that, the regional and beyond potentially. This team is set up for success because of how they played this last week and the different ways that they were able to come away with wins. It was a 3-2 game, so low scoring, 8-4 kind of commanded it throughout, and then 8-7, one of those back and forth games, winning time. They did just that. So to step up and win in those big ways, in different ways, last week was really what impressed me the most about the softball team.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll brush over the New Paul game because that's the only one we didn't call here. Mm-hmm. But a 3-2 win over a tough conference team that goes into 8 innings, both of these teams deserve to win that game. They really grinded it out. And kudos to Morgan Bricker, who would have been our player of the game if we called it. Right. 127 pitches in total in that game. And, you know, she's been in for very limited time because she hasn't played much this season. But she comes in and she dominates, and they won that game because Morgan Bricker was on the mound. And I don't know if you can say that if any other girl is on the mound, because she is our ace and she's proven that so far this year. And it's good to see her, a girl that's kind of had her senior year robbed from her a bit.
Right.
And, you know, that's the highlight she needs. She had a good one against Greenfield, and I won't be surprised if we're seeing her round one against Greenfield, the season ender against Yorktown, and post that.
Exactly. And I think the things too, is I'm looking at the standings. I mean, I know Pendleton Knights right now in second place behind Yorktown at 6-0, but they put themselves with that NUPOW victory in a position where they're only one loss. So if they could potentially, Yorktown's a very talented team. I mean, they're 21-2. I take that back. 21-2. So they're a team, I thought they only had one loss, but really impressive. So if you can potentially tie them at 6-1, and then if you have that head to head victory, it would go to Pendleton Knights. So that's Yorktown's last game. Of course, Pendleton Knights has Newcastle to play tomorrow evening on the road, and then they'll host Yorktown on Thursday. So this is a good week set up for Pendleton Knights to be able to hopefully finish that conference record 6-1, at least 5-2. We'll see if they can get that. But yeah, that was a really important victory for Morgan to get back her confidence on the mound and face a tough opponent in NUPOW, which has obviously had Pendleton Knights' number for the last few years, but that's one that they wanted to get. They did get on the road. It's a tough environment to play at NUPOW. Well, obviously a long road trip as well, but that's the kind of game you want to get. And that's, again, like I said earlier, types of games you have to have in the regular season to help you set up for success in the postseason.
And then we'll brush against the Indianapolis Bishop Chittard game. Pendleton Knights won that one 8-7. That's the game that put them 500 on the year. And this game was one of the most interesting softball games I've called here. It was very close. The fourth inning, it was tied 4-4. One run being the most any team had scored in an inning until later in the game when teams started to pull away a little bit. But the hits were pretty close. The errors were pretty close. It felt like the true winner of this team really deserved to win because they played the most clean softball. They did the best things offensively. And it was kind of poetic. It ended on a passed ball showing, you know, one small error will lose you this game.
It really will, Zion. And like you said, too, a lot of those, you know, runs, it was Chittard had one run in the first, one in the second. Pendleton Knights had one run. So it was a 2-1 game for a lot of the game. And then that sixth inning is when they exploded for four runs. Chittard had Pendleton Knights with three. They each scored one there in the seventh, which is what Pendleton Knights needed. The game was tied. So to avoid extra innings, they had to get that final run in the bottom of the seventh. And one stat I know, Zion, you and I talked about earlier today was the pitching for the Trojans. I mean, I think probably a season high for them. They had 13 walks. That's just one of those. But you have to give credit to the patience of the plate by Pendleton Knights to draw those walks. And again, when you're looking at the postseason, if you want to be able to, you know, get on base however you can, whether that's, you know, it's a full count and you're taking that ball four, it's hard to do that in a moment like that against a tough team in Chittard. But they did that, and the ability to draw the walks is something that really impressed me about this Lady Arabians team from that game on Friday night. And again, to be able to have that patience and not swing at that last pitch that was obviously low in the dirt and got away from the catcher to win the game, which is a very unique way. Like you said, Zion, a lot of back and forth and not expecting to end the game the way they did in that game against Chittard on Friday night. But that's one that you look at and you're like, well, it's a, you know, feather in the cap, I guess, the 12th win of the season, and see if they can continue their winning ways here this coming week.
Yeah, two very similar teams. Just looking at the schedule right now of Chittard, I mean, of course, where they are, they play Lawrence North, they play Warren Central, Garen Catholic's a tough team, Brownsburg, Living Water, I don't know the rest of that school, but that's a tough school based on the score there. Roncalli, they really play a lot of tough opponents. I think these two coaches could really, you know, have something to bond over.
Right, and Zion, you said too, it's the first time we played, so honestly, I could see this game continuing, even though Chittard's not joining the conference. That could definitely be a matchup that this point in the season or whenever they have time in the softball schedule, and honestly across the board in other sports. Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously this is a coach's show about all the sports, not just softball, so I could see that being an opponent that could definitely, I think, only like 35, 40 minutes away in Indy, not super far away. So definitely a quality opponent I think that Pendleton Knights could play across the board, especially in softball. I could see next year probably the game would be on the road, I'm sure, for Pendleton Knights since it was a home game this year. But yeah, I could see this matchup being one that Mr. Smith and the athletic department and Coach Davis want to continue going on forward, because I really think it's one that'll bring, it raises the level of competition for Chittard and Pendleton Knights both.
And we'll move to the baseball side of things. They stand 15-8 on the season, have a pretty good year, 8-4 in the Hoosier Heritage Conference. They played a whopping five games last week. They started away at Shenandoah and they got the win. Then they played their two games against NUPOW. First one at home, they got the better of the NUPOW Dragons. The second one, they fell 0-3. And then after that, Saturday, they went to the tournament at Evansville.
Evansville, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Where they played Evansville North, fell on that one. And then they beat Silver Creek 4-2, a top 20 team in the state, according to Coach Vosburgh, which you'll hear our interview soon. They won the week. It was a 3-2 week, very hard fought. And it's tough because of that conference loss, but I still like where they're at, and they've got a lot more baseball ahead of them.
They do, Zion. I know that, looking back at last week, too, I know that Shenandoah game was actually one that was added. I remember, I think I did the interview the week before with Coach Vosburgh, and he mentioned the fact of trying to reschedule some of those games because they'd had a few rained out, a few canceled. So, again, that's a tough opponent in Shenandoah, who's one of the other top teams, obviously, in the area, only 15, 20 minutes away. They're in Middletown, so a good victory to start the week. And then, of course, the baseball team followed up with a very similar score, the same score, actually, to the softball team against New Pal. They won 3-2, and then, yeah, lost 3-0 to New Pal. It's kind of been the trend. They've split a lot of those series. Obviously, they're 8-4 in third place in the HHC. So they're doing a good job of, you know, obviously having a winning record in the conference, and it's going to be tough. I think Shelbyville's there at the top, so it's going to be tough to unhinge them and from the number one seed there in the HHC. But, yeah, the tough tournament, Evansville North beating Silver Creek, a top 20 team. I know, Zion, you mentioned as well, too, that there was, you know, just it was a successful week. Like you said, 3-2, you know, Evansville North, like you said, one of the top teams in the state, 7-2, not the best game there, I guess they had. But again, when you look at the week overall, they got the winning record and they got the win against New Palo. Say that's the biggest one of the week. And then obviously kind of bragging rights in the area with beating Shenandoah last Monday as well. So 5-game week, they got, you know, 4 more this week before their sectional play as well. So tough stretch of the season, but 15-8, nothing to hang their heads on. It's been a really successful season. I know we've not covered them as much with conflicts due to baseball and having a lot of away games they've had this year, but good to kind of see them and kind of reflect on the season that they've had and looking forward to calling a couple games for them this week.
Yeah, and the other highlight to mention for the baseball team, Colin Axel Adams, the junior outfielder for our squad, broke the all-time career triples record for Pendleton Heights. So congrats to him. Really cool doing that as a junior. I mean, yeah, still got a year to play, and we're not a bad baseball program by any means. So that's really cool. And the Purdue commit has yet another record.
Right. And I know he did that, you know, committed last year. And then, yeah, just we knew we were close. I think he was tied for a while with those triples. And it's hard. You got to get one of those usually opposite, you know, obviously probably hit to right field would get you that triple. And
play at the right diamond.
Exactly. Honestly, too. And that probably was helpful. I think I don't know what Evansville North facilities is like, but I'm sure it's very nice. And probably just hit a hard ball there to get that final triple to be the leader. And I could see that record standing for quite a while, too, Zion, because it's one of those, it's hard to do. And to have, what is he? I think it's 12 or 13. Maybe what he has, and then so it's, I mean, to have that number the way it is, I think it's one that can stand for quite some time here at PHHS.
Well, that'll wrap it up. Stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by the Adam Custer Insurance Agency, American Family Insurance, Home, Auto, Life, Farm, and Commercial Insurance in Pendleton and Oaklanden, 765-221-2082.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the ASN Coaches Show. I'm your host, Zion Palmieri, joined alongside head coach of the varsity baseball team, Coach Vosburgh. How you doing today?
Living the dream. How about you?
I'm doing great myself. You've had a pretty busy week this week. 5 games, if I am not mistaken. You started off with a win versus Shenandoah and then the series against New Pal. And then you went on to go play in Evansville. In general, recap of the week. How do you think the team fared?
Yeah, we had a goal going into the week of, you know, still wanting to take conference. That was kind of the focus for the week. We didn't quite get the job done against New Pal, always a solid team. You know, we were able to take game one you know, behind a strong pitching performance by Jackson Mayfeld. And Brody Stevenson went out the next day, you know, and did his job on the mound. We just couldn't score any runs. It's going to be hard to, you know, to win a game when you only have 2 hits in that second game. You know, New Pal shut us out pretty good for 2 games. You know, we had, out of the 14 innings, we were only able to score, in one of them, you know, so we were shut out 13 of 14 innings against them. Thankfully in game one, that was an exciting game for us because we were able to come back in the 7th and walk it off for that win, to keep our conference, chances alive. And mathematically we're still alive. It's going to take some help though. You always hate to have, you know, to rely on other people to help you guys, to help you accomplish one of your goals. But we're two games back right now of Shelbyville. Greenfield's got them this week. We need to take care of business with Delta this week. If Greenfield can help us out and sweep Shelbyville, then we'll get a share of conference this year. But some things have to fall into place for that to happen. Overall, you know, we won the week. We were 3-2. The best thing about the Evansville tournament is that you're going to face some of the best competition that the state has to offer. You know, Evansville North is, I think, in the newest polls, they're going to be in the top 2 in the state for 4A. You know, they were a state runner-up last year. Guerin Catholic is the top team in 3A. Silver Creek was a top 20 team in 4A. You know, so it just some of the best competition that you have. It's always a great tune-up before you go into sectional to go out and face some of the best competition that you can find. And that's why that Evansville tournament is such a nice, it's not a fun drive, but it's a, you know, it's a late day for us, an early day, but it's worth it to go and compete against some of the best. And so, you know, we didn't play our best in game one. We lost 7-2 to Evansville, but then we had a nice showing in the second game, and we were able to take care of business against Silver Creek, another solid team. So, you know, a 3-2 wet record for the week. You know, obviously we want to win every game, and that's our goal going into this week. But it was a week that was good for baseball for us across the program.
Yeah, it's really nice. You get to play those really tough schools in the later half of your schedule. But how important is it to you ahead of the sectional? You get on a streak, you have a few wins in a row ahead of your playoff tournament.
Yeah, you always want to feel good and be playing with a lot of confidence going into the postseason tournament going into sectional. You know, we've had success in typically throughout this week. You know, we've got Richmond tonight, we've got Tua versus Delta, and then we're home against Connersville this week. So we've got four games on schedule so far, and we typically do pretty well. We kind of get our bats going hopefully this week. You know, it's you're facing, like I said, some of the best competition. So you've got it's a good barometer for where you're at in terms of how you got to score runs in order to win games that are going to be against some of the better pitchers that you're going to see, against some of the best competition that you're going to see. You know, we hit some balls over the last couple of days that we've had, you know, have gone our way as hits in other games. But because we're playing good teams with really good defenses, with really good pitchers, we're not getting as much barrel on it. Guys are able to get to it on the defensive side and make plays. And so, you know, things that we've, you know, balls that we've put in play that have gone for hits aren't going for hits in these last couple of games. And so we've got to manufacture runs and be willing to do some things that are that are going to help us win games in big moments and in big games against good teams. This week is a good, just kind of hopefully, you know, reset. As long as we're able to handle our business, we feel good about, you know, our plan for this week and about the guys that we have lined up against certain teams this week. Hopefully we run out the regular season on a 4-game win streak and have, you know, feel pretty good going into sectional.
If my numbers are correct, the last three starts for Jackson Mayfield, he's been able to get the win for Pendleton Heights, and he's currently a 5-1 win loss currently. How strong do you feel this team is when Mayfield, has pitched his game and can't play again?
Yeah. So, I mean, when your pitcher goes out with as much confidence as Jackson does, that kind of feeds into everybody else in terms of, like, we're not losing this game. It's a good lesson for a lot of pitchers. I hope every pitcher on our staff looks at Jackson when he's out on the mound and just says, I want to be that kind of a pitcher. I want to be that bulldog. I want to be that competitor. I want to be that guy that just refuses to give in and refuses to lose, because that kind of confidence breeds into other players as well as a result. The team is different. You can look at this at any level of baseball. When you know you have a guy that is going to give it everything he's got and you know, typically find success, it's a lot easier to play baseball behind guys like that. So, you know, it's a testament to how Jackson goes about his business. It's that competitive fire that he shows day in and day out. He does not take a pitch off on the mound. And that's just, it's fun. It's fun to watch. And it's unfortunate we only get to watch it for about a year, you know, with the transfer rules as last year, kind of didn't do him any favors. You know, we're going to ride it while we can and enjoy it while we can.
Yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate because this will be our last coaches show because school's coming to an end here. But about a week, 2 weeks out, do you think this team is trending in the right direction to be peaking at the right time?
I think we've been working all year to trend in the right direction. You know, we're an entirely different team than what we walked out against Newcastle to start the year against. You know, for the first inning, we gave up 4 runs against to Newcastle. We had guys that were playing spots that had never played those spots before for varsity baseball. You could tell some of those jitters, some of those nerves. Now we've got guys that are flying around the field. We've got guys that are confident, guys that know their roles now, guys that have bought into their roles. Guys have seen what it takes for us to win baseball games, and with the personnel that we have. We've won games that are close. We've won 2-1 games, 1-0 games. We've been down. We've come back and won games. We've also been up early and given up you know, the lead, and we've had to come back. We've been up early and given up the lead and have not come back. You know, we've been in all sorts of baseball games throughout the year, and that's all part of the maturing process. And it's helpful to know that we've gone through those things, that we've come out on the other end, and we've also seen what it takes to win games. And so, yeah, I think we are trending in the right direction. I think we've been trending in the right direction all year. You know, this team this year has a better record right now than the team did last year when we started 10-0. You know, they've been more consistent throughout the year, I would say. You know, there's been less up and down. There's been less streakiness. So Saturday was the first time that we had lost back-to-back games all year. We lost to New Pal on Wednesday, and then we lost to Evansville North on the first game Saturday. Apart from that, we hadn't lost back-to-back games all year, which I think that speaks to our consistency. You know, it speaks to, like, hey, if we get down, that's the one-off. You know, that's the rare thing, is that we lost a game, and we're going to come back and win the next one. And so I think that's again a testament to the consistency that these guys put in, the depth of our team. You know, it's easy to say, hey, that team's got a really good, you know, number one pitcher, but they don't have much behind him. You can't say that about us. You know, we've got guys that can go out and get the job done game one of the week, game five of the week.
This weekend, Colin Axel Adams broke the record of Pendleton Knights for triples all time. What did that mean for him? And do you feel it was good to get over that if, you know, he had known about being on the precipice of that?
Yeah, Colin's a very unique player. You know, he's a guy that is willing to, you know, take a pitch the other way, you know, a sharp ground ball to the left side. He's also a guy that can, when he gets out in front of a baseball, can pull it to the gap. But to get the triples record means that you have to have some speed as well, you know, some base running prowess. So he's a multi-tool player that can take what he is given at the plate, but then can turn on one and gap it, and then get off to the races as a result. So, you know, to hit a triple at our field is not easy. You know, we're 370 to center, which means that our gaps aren't as deep as well. You know, you get to a place like Westfield, who's got a 400-foot center field. Well, yeah, it's going to be a little bit easier to, you know, find a gap and let the ball run a little bit. But for him to do that here, you know, is pretty special, and it speaks to the player that he is. And I'm sure he's excited to have that record. But if you ask Colin, he's less concerned about a triples record, and he's more concerned about raising a sectional trophy.
Well, that'll wrap it up for this interview. Thanks for joining us this year. We've really appreciated having you for your time.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you, and stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by S&B Heating and Cooling, located at 6879 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com. Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here on the Arabian Sports Network. I'm your host, Zion Palmieri. Joined alongside me, head varsity coach of the Lady Arabian softball team, Coach Davis. How you doing today?
Good. How are you, Zion?
I'm doing good. We'll start off here and talk. You had a 3-0 week starting off. You played Greenfield Central. What did it do for this team to get another tough conference win over our team? You've got a date to play later in the year.
Well, I think it was good for them to come out and do what we did, put 8 runs on them and played really well and got to see some things that we hadn't seen pretty much all season with Morgan back on the mound. So it gave us some confidence going into the final two games of that week.
Yeah, and then you went into enemy territory, got the win over New Pal. We've seen Morgan Bricker be in for a little bit of a game, 2-3 innings at most. She pitched 127 pitches this night. How important was it for you to keep her in the whole time?
Well, you know, I told her she was going to go as long as she needed to or as long as she could. You know, the thing about it is when she started, she was pretty dominant at the beginning and consistent all the way through the ball game. And really, they didn't threaten a whole lot. You know, the two runs that they did score were run earned runs. So, you know, that's us making mistakes, you know, which we've got to stop, and we've definitely slowed it down. But, you know, she she pitched good, and then 127 pitches was right about where we wanted her to be.
Yeah, and then moving on, you played Indianapolis Bishop Chatard. You got the win 8-7. I told my co-host, the winner of this game deserves it. It was kind of symbolic. It ended on a passed ball. Did you feel like you won that game and you deserved that win?
No, not really. I didn't think we played very well. I thought we were a little flat coming into the game after New Pal. You know, it was good to get the win, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I just thought we had opportunities. I think we left 12. I think I seen where we left 12, base runners on base. You know, and to me, that's just not being focused. You know, you can't afford to leave 12 base runners on base and win ball games.
Yeah, Pendleton Knights drew 13 walks in that game, the highest of the year. Is there a specific reason? Just an off night for Chatard's pitching bullpen? What'd you think?
I think we're pretty patient at the plate. You know, I think we know where the balls and strikes are. I think we get fooled sometimes, or the umpires, you know, giving them the river. You know, but I think we got a pretty good eye of that, and we've seen a lot of good pitching this year that's moved the ball in and out, up and down, and spun the ball. And I think give credit to our girls for sitting there and taking what they gave us.
Yeah, you've got 3 games left of the regular season, and sadly, since it's our last coach's show, we'll jump ahead a little bit and talk about Yorktown. Currently, the front runner in the conference, 6-0, 20-2, I believe. What are you telling your team ahead of this conference game? Because they're not favored to win.
Win the game, you're conference champs. We haven't won the conference in 2013. I think it would be a great honor for these kids to get a conference championship. You know, even though they're undefeated, we beat them. We win the, it's a tie. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, we beat them. We're conference champs.
Yeah, and then with that Greenfield Central matchup, obviously it was a 4-8 win for Pendleton Heights earlier in the year. And considering last year's sectional, it doesn't feel like these two teams, I don't want to say like each other very much, but maybe a little bit of animosity between the two. How do you feel about Greenfield? Because, you know, you've got a lot of history with Pendleton Heights.
Oh, it's a rivalry for sure. You know, they're, you know, year in and year out, they're very competitive and disciplined. And Gary's got them doing a good job there at Greenfield. Even their record is similar to ours, schedule is similar to ours. You know, and if you look at the stats all the way down through the lineup and everything, all the stats are pretty similar. So, you know, it's who's going to want it more, who's going to show up, and probably the team that makes the least amount of mistakes is going to be a team that wins.
In that game against Greenfield, we saw Morgan Bricker start it and end it. What are you expecting to see from her? Is she going to get, you know, maybe 127 pitches like we saw in the New Pal game? What limits are you expecting for her?
You know, there's just, well, I mean, we go in the game, you know, hoping she can go the whole game. But, you know, we got plans. If we get in trouble, we know who we're going to go with. So, you know, the plan is for Morgan to step on the mound and not come off. But if she has to, we'll figure that out. But, you know, if Morgan comes and hits her spots and keeps them off balance, we play great defense or good defense. You know, it doesn't have to be great. It's just got to be making the routine plays, get us out of the big innings. Don't let them have a big inning. You know, I think good things are going to happen next Tuesday night.
There was a stretch in the middle of the season where Pendleton Knights was starting games, you know, down 4, down 3. The first inning was very strong for the opponents. In the last 3 games, that has stopped a good bit. How do you keep that for the rest of the season into the postseason?
Well, that's the thing. You know, we want to start good, you know, and earlier in the season, you know, we weren't starting good. We were having them big innings where they scored 5-6 runs in one inning along with our 3 or 4 errors. You know, so, you know, if we play, you know, airless ball and get outs, we'll get into bat and everything will work out for itself.
Yeah, my final question here for you, it's a little unfortunate because, you know, if we had one more coaches show, it would make sense. But do you think your team is peaking at the right time, you know, or on pace to peak at the right time?
Well, you know, I would like to think so. You know, I think we're playing our best ball right now, which is where you want to be playing at the end of the season. You know, unfortunately, we got some players that are in the game that weren't starters at the beginning. They're become starters because of injuries, you know, with Aaron Davis and Allie Carlin out of my lineup. You know, those are two key players. So we're just going to have to, you know, next man up, step up and come to play and you know, see what happens.
Well, we appreciate your time this year. It's been great to cover your games, and hopefully you can win that sectional tournament.
All right, thanks for covering us all year.
Stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group, Retirement Planning, Risk Management, and Legacy Planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001. Or online at talktofeg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome back to the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Benson Davis, and I'm joined by two very special guests today. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Ashton Smith. I'm a senior who runs distance track at Pendleton Heights.
I'm Zach White. I'm also a senior who runs track at Pendleton Heights distance.
Yeah, so I brought in two of my teammates. We all three run distance running. This is a very special interview for me. I'm very excited. So let's just get right into it, guys. My first question for you is, what first got you into distance running and what made you stick with it?
I mean, for me, it was my dad, honestly. I'm sure a lot of people can relate, but my dad made me do some sports and I was tired of soccer. And so I just started running. I ran cross country my seventh grade year, and then track, same thing. And I don't really know why I did distance. I just, and I like it.
For me, I'd have to say that I really enjoy being outside. And so when I started going to new places, like new parks and stuff, running is a really good way to be able to experience a lot of the park, but still be like involved in it rather than just driving around. And so that is what really got me started with running in general. And then when it came to like cross country and track in high school, that's where I was able to carry that passion.
Yeah, I love it. And when it is race day and you're in the middle of a tough race, what is the thing that keeps you going? What makes you get through those tough patches in race day and kind of and keep moving forward when things get painful?
For me, it's that idea that like I'm here to do a job and I want to try and like improve the most that I can personally. I want to try and like push myself to be the best that I can be. And that's been especially true this year because I haven't like, this is my last chance to really like set some good times.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to keep these times.
Yeah. For me during a race, it's definitely just remembering that it's going to hurt no matter what, whether I do a PR or whether I run, you know, a minute slower than usual, no matter what race it is, it's just going to hurt. And so I might as well push as hard as I can. And hopefully it'll give me a time that I'm proud of or a place that I'm proud of or accomplish a goal. So,
yeah. And I mean, we all know how busy track can be. So how do you balance training, school, and of course, all the things you do outside of track, extracurriculars? I know you guys are both very academic. I'm going to shout you guys out a little bit. Both of these guys are top five in your class, right? Ashton is third and Zach is fifth. So pretty insane. How do you balance all that?
I probably don't do a good job of balancing, to be honest. I do a lot of my homework after meets. I stay up later than I should probably. But ultimately, I just try to do the best work I can. Show up to practice and get my runs in on weekends.
For me, I think it's definitely taking advantage of the time on the bus between school and going to and from meets. Like we have some meets that are like an hour or two away. So I really make use of that time to get my homework done. That way I make sure I can like have free time outside of school and track.
Yeah. And I know we were talking about this on a run the other day. What is the hardest workout you've ever done?
For me, I'd say there have been a couple ladder workouts we've done that have been really tricky.
Yeah, explain what a ladder is to those that are unaware.
Sure. So a ladder is where you'll start with a shorter distance, like 200 or so meters, and then you'll slowly work your way up in distance to like a high point in the middle, like 800 meters, and then you'll do that same those same reps backwards going back down.
Well, you kind of stole mine. I mean, ladders, I think, are just the hardest because you have to go fast at the beginning, which isn't that bad, and then you build up your distance, get your legs sore, and then you go back down to having to go fast, and with your legs being completely cooked, it's hard to do.
Yeah. And before a race, do you have any, I know a lot of runners have pre-race superstitions. I know I do, things I have to do. Are there any that you guys have that you can kind of think of that you just feel like if you don't do them, it's going to be a bad day?
Well, I have a certain playlist of music that I have to listen to before, either like while I'm warming up, or sometimes I'll listen to it on the bus as we're getting to the meet. And that really helps like get me in the right headspace for the races I'm about to run.
I always eat oatmeal. Okay. That's like my good breakfast that I always eat before I run. And I know it's going to, you know, keep my stomach feeling a way that I'm familiar with. And if I skip my oatmeal, it messes me up just mentally.
Yeah, I totally get that. What is the biggest lesson distance running has taught you?
Just generally putting work in. The more work you put into something, generally the more you're going to get out of it. There are exceptions with injuries, all that, but it's really rewarding to see what you can get out of putting in hard work, and I think that really applies to a lot of things.
Yeah, I think another big thing with the distance running is like it helps me with a lot of that like perseverance, that even when things are tough, like if you're working hard to study for an exam or whatever, you're like that same mental fortitude that can go into finishing the last half of a distance race can also help you push that last 10% when you're trying to get somewhere.
Love that. You guys have both had very good long careers in high school and luckily raced a lot of races. So what personal record or specific race are you guys most proud of?
For me, I'd say my recent conference race last week.
Yeah.
Because for all my junior year, I had been struggling a little bit with like pushing myself during races, running good times. But I feel like last week at conference, I was really able to like get back in the swing of things and build some momentum that I'm hoping to carry into sectionals this week.
Mine was probably state for cross country last year. It wasn't really my fastest time. I probably could have run it better. But I was just happy to be there. I was there with my teammate, Connor. He's a grade lower than us. He's a junior. And it was just fun to be there. I was proud that I was there. And ultimately, I ran a decent time. So
yeah,
that one was fun.
Totally. And speaking of, Ashton, you brought it up, sectionals this Thursday. What's your guys' kind of headspace going into that? You know, what are your goals and what do you hope to get out of it?
Well, for me, it's really about trying to like push myself for what will probably be my last race in high school. I'm running the 16 and it's looking to be pretty competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a very good chance this is going to be the last track race I run. So I really want to like go out there and push as hard as I can to leave it all out on the track because I may not get a second chance. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. There's always, you know, there's a good chance that this will be the last one. And so just leaving it all out there is really what I want to do. I really want to push myself and, you know, never know what happens. So
very true. And my last question for you both, if someone wanted to start distance running today, what advice would you give them?
I would say just stay consistent. Honestly, even if you're doing, you know, half a mile every day and you build it up, it's going to get a lot easier. And then you're also going to learn how to deal with running because it kind of sucks sometimes. And so if you can just get into that groove, you'll build up conditioning physically and then mentally you'll learn how to do it.
Honestly, I would say make sure that like you're eating well if you're going to try and like really push yourself into running. Because if you're not treating your body right, then running is going to be a lot harder, especially at the beginning, than it would be that if you're putting good food into your body.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, guys. This was Zach White and Ashton Smith distance track runners for the Arabian track and field team. I've been your host, Benson Davis. Thank you for joining us on the ASN Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by Adam Christensen, Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, Life, Auto, Home, and Farm Insurance, located at 6521B South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-1754 or online at infarmbureau.com.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Sprunger & Sprunger Attorneys at Law. Located at 138 West State Street in Pendleton, their phone number is 463-273960 or online at sprungerandsprunger.com.
Now back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Force Tech. Visual design, production, and rentals. Located at 2181 Royal Drive in Greenfield. Their phone number is 317-586-2844. Or online at force.tech.
91.7 WEEM. Welcome back to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm your host, Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside
Trevor Martin,
Colton Bailey.
And guys, we're here to close this thing out. We'll start with the softball team, which we mentioned earlier in the Coaches Show before, obviously, in spring sports. So important to talk about. They stand 500, 4-1 in conference, with two conference games left on the schedule. They drew Greenfield Central in round one. So we have a lot to talk about because this is sadly our last Coaches Show of the year. But yeah, guys, impressive stuff on the softball scene.
Really has been, Zion. Like we mentioned already, the 3-0 start to the, or 3-0 record from last week. And then they have three more games this week. We'll start that off with Lebanon. You know, they're a team coming in. Their record's 5-14, so not the best. So I think Pendleton Knights, hopefully you can get the win tonight. Newcastle kind of struggling as well. So they want to start the week strong, and then of course Yorktown comes, and they're a very tough opponent. Like we said in the opening segment, through 23 games, they're 21-2. It's very impressive there. So Colton, I mean, you got three games this week. What do you think Pendleton Knights can do in those three matchups?
I feel like knowing Pendleton Heights, we've haven't faced a lot of confidence.
Right.
I'd say, or at least like we kind of open up the gate with that new POW game because Newcastle, Yorktown both being conference matchups, but with our current matchup against conference being 4-1. I feel like with us being second, we're probably going to dominate these games. I mean, they're both weaker teams in the Hoosier Heritage Conference, but you never know.
Right. I mean, at least, you know, the one game's home. So obviously, as I look at that, you know, you got away tonight at Lebanon, Newcastle, you know, not super far away, but a little bit of a drive there to Newcastle. And then you get the home game on Thursday. So the nice part is, at least through the sectional side, they have the two games, you know, tonight and tomorrow on the road, and then you'll be home to practice, to play these next few days, obviously leading into the holiday weekend with Memorial Day this weekend. And then playing Greenfield Central in a game on Tuesday night. I know, Zion, we talked about too, that actually that game is a 6 p.m. start. It's supposed to be 7 o'clock, but according to what we saw in the bracket, it looked like Richmond actually had to forfeit against Anderson. So it advances Anderson there to that semifinal matchup. So just one game that first night, that Tuesday night against Greenfield Central. But that'll be the one to look out for as well, with a 6 p.m. start, and to see, you know, obviously for Pendleton Knights fans, you want to see how maybe Greenfield Central responds, and hopefully Morgan Bricker back out there on the mound at that game. And but you know, the hard part is you win the matchup in the season if you're Pendleton Knights against Greenfield. But now the one you need to want to win to keep your season alive comes next Tuesday. So that's the kind of one to focus in on, Zion, with no coaches show, obviously, with the holiday. And we're obviously out of school starting Thursday. It's probably your guys' last day of school, Friday for the staff. But when you look at that, it's like this is an important stretch this week, of course, with the two conference games, and then you start going right, you know, have a little bit of a break, I guess, maybe enjoy holiday weekend, and then you get right into it on Tuesday night, home against Greenfield Central. So it's, you know, nice that both matchups are at home. You didn't have to travel to Greenfield, but we'll see how this week goes on. I think it's a good indication of what this team can do. If they can go undefeated, at least go 2-1 this week, more motivation, they'll be over 500 heading into sectional.
Yeah, that Greenfield game is, I'm super excited for. The Arabian Sports Network is covering the entire our girls softball postseason. We're going to cover every game.
Yeah, so every game that we have.
We're the hub for that, so you're not going to want to miss any of that. Stay tuned for, you know, our website has our broadcast schedule as well as the school's website, and, you know, we're calling the rest of the softball playoffs, so you're going to want to catch it all there. But that Greenfield game, I know it was 8-4 Pendleton Heights victory before. That was one of the closest 8-4 games I've seen in a while. At one point, you've got a D1 hitter at the plate in Savannah Ryle, I believe. Her first name's Savannah, I think. Her last name is Ryle, definitely. And they intentionally walked her to score a run because she is such a strong threat. Last year in the sectional, she hit a grand slam against Pendleton Heights to make it 8-7. These two teams are so close. They have history, and I can't imagine they're best friends. So right, there is exactly. A lot. Both teams are all in for that sectional tournament, and I think a lot of that's because of last year. They're very bitter after that game, and that just makes for a better matchup. That is one you're not going to want to miss Tuesday the 26th.
Yeah, not at all, Zion. Like you said, too, I think in any sport, you get Greenfield and Pendleton. They're always going to play in the season with conference. They're not leaving. Pendleton Heights isn't leaving. This is going to be a matchup you're going to see for years to come. And it's a matchup, honestly, I feel like outside of maybe Mount Vernon, it's the matchup that you see the most, I feel like, in sectional when it comes to Pendleton Heights and Greenfield. And you know it's going to be a good matchup, like you said, too. I feel like I've heard Coach Richmond say, you know, we'll play them anywhere, in a parking lot, in a cornfield, like wherever it is. Pendleton Heights and Greenfield getting together, you know it's going to be must-see. Must see radio, obviously, for you guys to listen to that broadcast. It's going to be a great one. It's going to be back and forth like we had the first matchup. So I'm excited to be able to tune into that one and hear how, obviously, Pendleton Heights does against Greenfield next Tuesday.
Yeah, and then on the boys' baseball scene, 15-8 currently, 8-4 in the Hoosier Heritage Conference. Today, they will play Richmond away. So by the time you're hearing this, if you're still in Pendleton, you've got a lot of time to cover up on the ground if you want to get to Richmond. Good luck with that. And, you know, a date with the Richmond Red Devils Tuesday and Thursday. They're going to play Delta. First game is at home Tuesday, which we'll cover on the Arabian Sports Network. 6 p.m. first pitch, 5:55 pregame show. And then Thursday, they will play Delta away. Friday, they will take on Connersville at home. And after that, the 27th, it is against Greenfield Central, funny enough.
All right.
And the first game is sectionals. But that one will take place at Richmond.
That will. And Zion, I know that's one we talked about too. Like we said, we'll cover softball as long as they go. Obviously, if softball wins Tuesday, then we'd cover their game Wednesday. I guess if not, then we would cover that game against Greenfield Central. So it is odd. You know, you think about too, just like that we've talked about before, but the odds of both the baseball and softball team drawing Greenfield in the first round is, you know, not the most common thing you'd obviously see, but that of course happened for both the baseball and softball team.
And the funny thing is Pendleton Heights got knocked out in both baseball and softball last year by Greenfield. Four teams have history.
Right. Back to back years.
It could happen again or it could flip.
Yeah, exactly. It could flip.
And all of these matchups are so close. They're razor thin. You know, obviously there's no betting odds, but they would be so close.
Oh, they would be. Yeah.
And I know in the season they played Greenfield Central at the start of May. Pendleton Heights won the home game. Greenfield Central won the away game. And the away game, 11-2, Greenfield wins. The home game, 3-1, both aces on the mound. It is going to be a dogfight. That is one. I'm kind of like, obviously, I don't want to travel to Richmond. That's a long bus ride for me to call a game. But I'm not going to be too mad considering how good this game's going to be.
Right. And I think, Zion, you mentioned the two scores there. It is strange, like when Jackson Mayfield, you know, the Pendleton Heights' ace has been on games. I feel like it's been a lot of those 3-1, 3-2 type games kind of drag it out. And he's able to get a lot of those outs. And obviously the fielder's helping him behind him as well. But yeah, that's one of those games too. I feel like it can maybe be a little bit higher scoring for both teams. Maybe it's an atmosphere where, you know, Richmond's far for Greenfield and of course for Pendleton Heights. So you got that bus travel. It's the first game. So at least I feel like that's a good thing too. You're playing when you get there, not having to wait, you know, for the end of the first game and play at, you know, 8 o'clock or something. At least you get the first game out of the way for sure there for both teams. So it'll be one that's interesting to see just how well both teams play and how, you know, how that rivalry, of course, this will be the third matchup, but the most important. So you split it. If you're looking at a best of three series, this is the one that you want to win to be able to advance your team and win the series in the season. So it's one that, again, we said must see radio, must see audio for Pendleton Heights and Greenfield for softball. It's the same way for the baseball team as well. There's like that bad blood, like we said, the animosity between the two teams, but this is one you're going to want to see if you can make that trip out to Richmond. I know it's kind of a historic, I think it's McBride Stadium there in Richmond. So an old minor league park that's been around for 60, 70 years, whatever it is. And so it's really impressive. You want to see historic ballpark and these two teams play. You're going to want to be there on Wednesday, May 27th, next Wednesday, to see that matchup between two HHC foes.
And that'll do it for the ASN Coaches Show. Thanks for tuning in at any point this year for football, basketball, and baseball and softball season. We've been really glad to be your hosts, and we hope you stay tuned next year. Sadly, I won't be here, but I know the rest of my sports staff are going to be able to hold it down, and maybe you'll hear me once or twice. You never know.
Well, at least maybe from coming here, we'll hear you at least once during football season, hopefully,
It's not the end of me yet.
No, not yet. No, not at all.
But thanks for tuning in, whether you listen for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or the whole broadcast. We really appreciate it. To our sponsors and contributors, we couldn't do any of this without your help. And that'll wrap it up. You've been listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. We greatly appreciate all of our donors and underwriters who help make this possible. This is 91.7 WEEM.